be in much prayer for Lord's churches, those that are without pastors, those that are struggling greatly. Just be in much prayer. I'd like tonight to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Message will coincide with this morning. This morning we preached on my Father. That is, God is our Father. Tonight we'd like to read 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What we have here are two promises. And they're part of, in verse 1 of chapter 7, having therefore these promises. So they're a part of these promises of 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. The other promises we see in verse 16, I will dwell in them, that's a promise, and walk in them, that's another promise. I will be their God, that's another promise. They shall be my people, that's another promise. We see in verse 17 that these promises, the ones we just read in verse 16, are to have an impact upon our lives. Wherefore? That is, based on these promises. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, followed by another promise. I will receive you. That's five promises. Then we come down to verse 18. We have two more. He will be a father unto us, and we will be his sons and daughters. And then we see this is to have an impact upon us. Verse 1, having therefore these promises, the seven promises mentioned. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is one of those chapter divisions that shouldn't be. Having therefore these promises. I don't understand how someone can read those words, having therefore these promises, and not ask themselves, what promises is he talking about? And then you go back and you see, which we just did. We see seven promises. And we see in two places, indicated by wherefore in verse 17 and therefore in verse 1 of chapter 7, that these are meaningful words. They are to be impacting and transforming our being and our life. So read the text again, and will be a father unto you. That's a promise. And another promise, ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That validates the promise, by the way. Saith the Lord Almighty. I will be unto you a father. I will be unto you a father. There's a great depth of meaning in those words. And then he goes on to say, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. So the first, I will be unto you a father, implies the second. Ye shall be unto me sons and daughters. The blessed promise, I will be a father unto you, does not that automatically assume that we are his children? I mean, you automatically make that assumption. But the Lord goes on to say, he doesn't just leave it, I will be a father unto you. And he could have left it there, and we could then assume we are his children. But he mentions specifically, ye shall be my sons and my daughters. And why did God do that? Why did the Holy Spirit lead Paul to record it that way? Why didn't he just say, I will be a father unto you? Because I believe the Lord wants us to be affected by the depth of this meaning. Wants to make sure we don't miss this. Not only will he be a father unto us, but we are his sons and his daughters. Notice our text. I will. The I goes back to verse 17. Still God speaking. So it is, I will be unto you. I will be unto you. And the result of what I be unto you is, ye shall be my sons and daughters. I will be unto you, followed by, ye shall be my. That's always God's order. He's unto us, and then there's a result. So both of these promises, I will be a father unto you, ye shall be my sons and my daughters, are indicative of an intimate connection between God and ourselves. If there be an intimate connection between God and ourselves, that's God's love. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. Think about those words in relation to God. Father, sons, and daughters. Father, sons, and daughters. Those speak of something special, something very close. It speaks of a unique relationship. Father, sons, and daughters. And again, it is a very special, very close, very unique relationship. And it involves God and me. It's a relationship that involves God and me. Father, sons, daughters. It speaks of a connection that we have to God, a connection that he has with us. And our hearts ought to rejoice that there is such a connection. Our lives ought to be greatly impacted by that statement, Father, sons, daughters. He's our Father. We are the sons and daughters of God. How can that not impact our lives? So we're going to speak tonight on Father God and his sons and daughters. First of all, we'll consider God as our Father. We did that this morning. But throughout Scripture, God is given the title, given the position, given the office of Father. Many times in Scripture, there is the image of God as our Father without the term Father. For example, if look over in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Verses 22 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Well, does that not create the image that he's the Father? Verse 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go. The title Father is not used, but certainly the image of a father is used. We see this all through the Scriptures. So again, he is termed, he is titled Father. But even when he's not called Father, the image is there. And again, we could spend much time going through Scriptures that draw this image. Notice in Psalm 103, and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord. Like as a father, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He's drawing the image that God is our Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, the sermon that Jesus preached, the theme of that sermon is kingdom living upon earth. And a very significant factor of such a life, as you read the Sermon on the Mount, is this. God is our Father. God is our Father. That should have an impact upon how we live. In Matthew 5 through 7, where the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the most full account we have, the Lord is referred to 16 times in the Sermon on the Mount as Father. 16 times. In each of these mentions of the title Father, there are the personal pronouns your Father, thy Father, and our Father. So he's not just given the title Father, but there's a relationship. He's your Father. He's thy Father. He's our Father. All of this links him to us. 6 times in the Sermon on the Mount, he is referred to as our Father and is said to be in heaven. He is our Father in heaven. That distinguishes him from our earthly father. Notice, again, if we go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now notice verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. In verse 1 of chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. In verse 9 of chapter 6, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. In chapter 7, verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So six times he is referred to as our Father, which is in heaven. And in Matthew 6, verse 26, he is referred to as, he is called heavenly. He is our heavenly Father. He's our heavenly Father. Our Father's in heaven. He is our heavenly Father. What that declares is that he's above all. He's majestic. He is distinct from all others. It is also declared in chapter 6, verse 9, in the context of him as a Father, hallowed be thy name. That is, holy be thy name, sacred, set apart, sanctified be thy name. So we're reminded repeatedly through the Sermon on the Mount, and this is how we live this kingdom life upon earth, that he is our Father, but he's not a common Father. Our Father is in heaven, and hallowed be our name, be his name. Never, ever, ever make him in your thoughts or view him as common or ordinary. He is our Father which is in heaven, and there's nothing common about him. There's nothing ordinary about him. There's nothing common, there's nothing ordinary about this relationship that exists between God the Father and his sons and his daughters. This is not a common, ordinary relationship. This is something that takes precedence over all other relationships. He is eternal. It makes him different. He is infinite. Again, Isaiah 66, 2, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. There's a vastness about him. There's an extensiveness about him. There's an enormity about him. There's a grandeur about him. There's a magnificence about him. There's a majesty about him. And he's our Father. He's our Father. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And he's our Father. I have a relationship with him. He's always faithful. He's always sufficient. He's always the unchanging one. And he's our Father. He knows how to raise up the most unruly. And he knows how to fulfill the hopeless with hope. And he knows how to give the most personal care. He knows how to bring order to disordered lives. And he's our Father. That is, I have a relationship with Him. In the Sermon on the Mount, notice Matthew 5, verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He, your Father which is in heaven, maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That declares that He's in control. But it also declares something about His character. It declares something about His love. He makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He's a loving Father. He's a gracious Father. Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect. Absolutely holy. Absolutely righteous. Absolutely pure. Absolutely impeccable. Impeccable means that He cannot sin. It's more than He's without sin. Yes, He is. But He can't sin. In other words, He'll always be without sin. If He's not impeccable, then there's a possibility that He does sin. But my Father is perfect. He's perfect. Absolutely. No faults. None. No flaws. No defects. You look at all earthly fathers, and they all have faults. They all have flaws. They all have defects. But not this Father. He's without blemish. He's without any weakness. Our Father is perfect. Matthew 6, verse 1, verse 4, verse 6, verse 18. He is a rewarder. And what that means is that He's gracious. He's merciful. It means He has great resources. No one has greater resources than our Heavenly Father. He's all-knowing, He's all-wise. He knows who to give to and what to give. He knows when to give it. He knows how to give it. And He knows how much to give. And He's our Father. He's all wise. In Matthew 6, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He's aware of our needs, but He sure does like us to tell Him our needs. He's our Father. He forgives. Verse 14 of chapter 6. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. He's holy. And His sons and daughters have all kinds of flaws. all kinds of blemishes. But he forgives. He forgives his sons and his daughters. Matthew 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. In other words, he cares. He cares. Again, in verse 11 of chapter 7. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, sinful man knows how to give good gifts unto his children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, he draws a clear distinction. We are evil. That is, we have sin. We have faults. He's in heaven. He's pure. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? So he gives. And he's our Father. All of this speaks of the fact that as our Father, he's gentle, he's kind, he's good, he's patient. There isn't anybody more patient than God. He's sensitive to his children. Again, he's the pattern. By the word Father being used in relation to God, we see that he's not some vague abstract, not some unknowable force, but he's an actual personality, existing, related to ourselves, yet distinct from ourselves. He relates to us, yet he is distinct from us. He's nothing like us. God, in all that he is our Father. A name full of meaning. Father. A name full of love. A name full of comfort. A name full of assurance. I believe that it is a title, Father, that God loves to hear. We are to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. You don't have to use those exact words. But when you address God, you address him as Father. And I believe God takes great delight when we look up to heaven and say, Father. Father. And again, that ought to have great impact upon us. We have sins, we have ignorance, we have troubles, we have sorrows, we have cares, we have duties, we have innumerable needs. And he's our Father. And he knows all of those things. And he can provide for all of those things. So when we say our Father, those two words ought to grip our hearts and our minds. Sometimes we need to just think about it. Our Father. Our Father. Just meditate upon what that means. And then consider that we are sons and daughters of God. What a wonderful wonderful title. To be the sons and the daughters of God. Again, our text, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my. Ye shall be my. Something special. There's a lot in that word, my. It's God speaking. Ye shall be my sons and daughters. Notice Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through verse 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, right now, the children of God. Right now, the children of God. That's amazing. It's something that is marvelous beyond full comprehension. The children. Or as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 7:18, the sons and daughters of God. That's what I am. That's who we are right now. The sons and the daughters of God. The word child, the word sons, the word daughter carries with it a legal statement that defines the relationship, the position that we have with God. Again, father, sons, daughters. It's an intimate connection, but it is a legal statement. Father, sons, daughters. And when God calls Himself Father and calls us His sons and daughters, that is a legal statement. It's a binding statement. It speaks of our position in relation to God. It speaks of our relationship in relation to God. A son, a daughter, is one who is related to a particular individual in a way that no one else is. And this speaks of you and I being related to God in a very particular way. We are His sons, His daughters, the very children of God. And we are in this world as the sons and daughters of God. He is our Father while we are in this world. And while we're in this world, we stand in this unique and very separate relationship to Him. And it's right now. We are His children. His sons, His daughter. This means that something marvelous has taken place in our life. That we could be called the sons and the daughters of God. Something marvelous has taken place. A transformation has taken place. The sons and the daughters of God. This is our position as saved individuals. This is our position. This is our relationship with God. I am a son of God. Or you may be a daughter of God. We are the special. What it means is that we are the special objects and recipients of His love. That's what John refers to in 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. In other words, just simply being His child makes me different from those who aren't. Makes me different from the world. And the reason that the world knoweth us not is because it knew Him not. Does not recognize His children, does not recognize Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, lavished upon us. It's a unique love. It's a particular love. It's an eternal, undying, abiding, boundless, timeless, forever love. It is an immutable, forever the same love. It is an unconditional love. It is totally unmerited. It's infinite. It's immeasurable. Being the sons and daughters of God means that we are the special objects of His care, of His protection, of His provision, of His education, of His discipline, of His consolation. It also means that we have certain privileges. We have opportunities that others do not have. It means that we have been brought into the family of God. That's something to meditate upon as well. The family of God. I'm a member of the family of God. A son or daughter of God. We've been brought into a special relationship with God. As His sons and daughters, we have a contact with Him. We have a knowledge of Him. We are familiar with Him. There is a friendship that exists that those outside of the family of God do not have. Oh, the blessing of this special kinship to the Lord. It means that we have been brought into a special enjoyment of God. As His sons and daughters, we can enjoy God in a way that others cannot. It means that we have a special experience of the Lord. And it is our privilege to live our life in the enjoyment of God. It means that we've been brought into special communion with the Lord. It means that it is our privilege to live near to God. He's our Father. We're His sons, His daughters. It means that we have access to God. A lot of famous people that you and I have no access to whatsoever. A lot of powerful people that we have no access to. But we have access to the God of the universe. Because we've been made His sons and His daughters. Not everybody has access to our Father. It also means that we have an inheritance. It's declared in Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now you think about that, an heir. Many a rich heir has been ruined by the wealth that they obtained that they did not do anything for. Their lives have been ruined. Did their parents mean to ruin their lives? No. But there's no arguing it. Many lives have been ruined by an inheritance. And at the best, the earthly inheritance lasts but for a little while. At best. But God provides inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's not an inheritance that can hurt us. You can hurt your children by leaving them a bunch of money. I'm not saying you do. Every time someone is left a bunch of money, that it hurts them. But you can bring harm to them because they can misuse it. They can use that money for drugs or whatever. It can ruin their lives. But God is our Father. And what we inherit will not hurt us. It will not hurt us. This brings us to our responsibility. Again, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved, let us. It's to impact our lives. I am the son of James and Marlene Gordon that doesn't have, that doesn't mean anything to most people. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't give me any standing whatsoever. But when I say that I am a son of God, that changes everything. That has a great impact. Or should have a great impact upon our lives. He's my Father, and I am to function in relation to Him. Notice Matthew 5 again. We go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they... Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God is my Father, and my life is to be about Him. Verse 45, again, we've read this verse, that you may be the children of your Father, that is, that you might manifest that you are the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He's talking about loving your enemies in verse 44. We are to live our lives. Our lives involve enemies. Our lives involve people that are going to do us wrong. And our Father has left us an example how to treat them. Well, you set out and you ruin them. You do everything you can to destroy their lives. Is that what your Father does? Is that what your Father did to you? No. We're to love our enemies. And God is our example in doing so. We are to prefer His approval over the approval of man. We see that in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. He's our Father. We ought to seek His approval. Matthew 6, verse 6, we're to come to Him with confidence. You see, His being a Father has an impact upon our lives. Chapter 6, verse 8, Him being our Father makes us different than all others. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, for your Father. Not to pattern our lives after others, to pattern our lives after our Father. Matthew 6, verse 9, we're to recognize Him as set apart from all others. Again, hallowed be Thy name. Oh, may this fact get a hold of us. God is my Father. May it have a powerful impact upon our lives. I'm His child. I am a child of God. Be careful how you treat brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if they are truly saved, they too are the sons and daughters of God. What a blessing to be a son of God. Been adopted into the family of God. You know, adoption agencies, they try to match parents and children. Run all kinds of tests to make a match. Think about it. There was never a more imperfect match than God and us. And when you think about who He is and who we are, but He's gracious. How many of us would adopt someone who has a criminal record that covers their whole life? Be honest. You don't want to adopt that child. Oh, I would. No, you wouldn't. And who's just filthy, rebellious, hateful. No, I don't think I want to adopt him. But that's who God adopted. We had a long criminal record. It was crimes against Him. And now we're His sons and daughters. How blessed. How blessed we are. So I challenge you this week to meditate upon God as our Father. Meditate upon, I am a son or I am a daughter of God. And think about how that ought to impact our lives. We ought to live like the sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the God of the universe. We ought to live like it. We ought to manifest who we are. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.